Hello and welcome to your GCSE Economics Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we are diving into one of the most important and most frequently examined topics in the entire specification, government policies. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdExcel or OCR, I promise you this topic will come up. And by the end of this episode, you are going to feel genuinely confident about it. So let's start with the big picture. Why do governments even have economic policies? Well, the economy doesn't just run itself perfectly. Left alone, you get unemployment, inflation, inequality, and all sorts of problems. The government steps in with policies, essentially tools, to steer the economy towards four main objectives. Those four objectives are, number one, economic growth. They want GDP to increase, ideally by around 2 to 3% per year. Number two, low and stable inflation. The Bank of England has a target of 2% for the Consumer Price Index, or CPI. Number three, low unemployment, aiming for what economists call full employment, roughly 4 to 5%. And number four, a stable balance of payments, meaning exports should roughly match imports. Now, here's the really important thing examiners love to test. These objectives can conflict with each other. If you try to boost economic growth, you might accidentally cause inflation to rise. If you cut unemployment too aggressively, you can trigger wage inflation. This tension is called the policy conflict, and any 12-mark evaluation question will almost certainly expect you to discuss these trade-offs. Always mention the conflict. Right. Let's get into the actual policies. There are three main types you need to know inside out: fiscal policy, monetary policy, and supply side policy. Let's take them one by one. First up, fiscal policy. This is the government's use of taxation and government spending to influence the economy. It's decided by the Chancellor of the Exchequer and announced in the budget. Fiscal policy can be either expansionary or contractionary. Expansionary fiscal policy means the government is trying to boost the economy. They do this by either increasing government spending, building new hospitals, schools, or roads, or by cutting taxes, which gives households more disposable income to spend. Both actions increase aggregate demand, or AD. More spending means firms produce more, hire more workers, and GDP rises. But, and this is crucial, expansionary fiscal policy can cause inflation if the economy is already running near full capacity. It can also create a budget deficit, meaning the government is spending more than it collects in taxes, which adds to national debt. Always include these drawbacks in your evaluation. Contractionary fiscal policy is the opposite. The government increases taxes or cuts spending to slow the economy down. This is used when inflation is too high. Higher taxes reduce disposable income, people spend less, aggregate demand falls, and inflationary pressure eases. The downside? It can slow growth and increase unemployment. A key concept linked to fiscal policy is the multiplier effect. An initial injection of government spending has a magnified impact on GDP. For example, if the government spends £1 billion building a new hospital, the construction workers earn wages, they spend those wages in local shops, those shop owners spend their profits, and so on. The total impact on GDP is greater than the original £1 billion. Now, let's move on to monetary policy. This is controlled by the Bank of England, specifically its Monetary Policy Committee, the MPC. The MPC meets 8 times a year and sets the base interest rate. Their primary goal is to keep inflation at the 2% CPI target. When the MPC cuts interest rates, borrowing becomes cheaper. Mortgages cost less, business loans are cheaper, consumers have more disposable income to spend. Aggregate demand rises, growth picks up, and unemployment tends to fall. The Bank of England cut rates to just 0.1% during the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. When the MPC raises interest rates, the opposite happens. Borrowing becomes more expensive, people spend less, aggregate demand falls, and inflation pressure eases. Between 2021 and 2023, the Bank of England raised rates from 0.1% all the way up to 5.25% to combat the inflation surge caused by energy prices and supply chain disruptions. There's also a special tool called quantitative easing, or QE. This is used when interest rates are already very low. The bank creates new money electronically and uses it to buy government bonds from banks. This increases the money supply, lowers long-term borrowing costs, and encourages lending and spending. QE was used extensively after the 2008 financial crisis and again during COVID.
Now for our third policy type, supply-side policies. These don't work by changing aggregate demand. Instead, they aim to improve the productive capacity of the economy, making it more efficient and capable of producing more. Economists say they shift the long-run aggregate supply curve, or LRAS, to the right. There are four main types. First, education and training. Investing in schools, universities, and apprenticeship schemes makes workers more skilled and productive. This reduces structural unemployment and increases the economy's potential output. Second, privatisation and deregulation. Transferring industries to private companies and removing regulations that restrict competition. Third, tax cuts for businesses. Reducing corporation tax gives firms more profit to reinvest in machinery and research. And fourth, infrastructure investment. Better roads, railways, and broadband reduces business costs and improves efficiency. The big advantage of supply-side policies is that they can deliver sustainable economic growth without causing inflation. The big disadvantage is that they take a long time to work. Improving education might take 10 to 15 years before you see the full impact. Always discuss this time lag in your answers. Right, now we've covered the three main policy types. Let's talk exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. You need to know how to write it up to get the marks. The most common question types you'll see on government policies are a 4-mark explain question, an 8-mark analyse question, and a 12-mark evaluate question. For a 4-mark explain question, something like explain how a cut in interest rates might affect unemployment, you need 2 developed points. Use the Peel structure. Point, evidence, explanation, link. So you'd say, a cut in interest rates reduces the cost of borrowing. This means consumers have more disposable income and are more likely to spend on goods and services. As a result, firms experience higher demand and may need to take on more workers to meet it, so unemployment falls. That's 1 developed point. Do that twice and you've got 4 marks. For a 12-mark evaluate question, these are the big ones, you must present a balanced argument. Discuss the advantages of the policy, then the disadvantages, then consider the context. Always reach a clear conclusion. Examiners cannot give you the top marks if you sit on the fence. Now let me give you the 5 most common mistakes I see in exam answers on this topic. Mistake number 1, confusing fiscal and monetary policy. Remember, fiscal policy is the government using tax and spending. Monetary policy is the Bank of England using interest rates. They are different institutions with different tools. Mistake number 2, not explaining the mechanism. Saying cutting interest rates boosts the economy gets you no marks. You must explain how. Cheaper borrowing leads to more spending, leads to higher AD, leads to more output and jobs. The chain of reasoning is everything. Mistake number 3, forgetting the trade-offs. Every policy has drawbacks. Expansionary fiscal policy can cause inflation and increase debt. Raising interest rates can cause unemployment. Supply-side policies take years to work. Always evaluate both sides. Mistake number 4, not using specific examples. Examiners reward real-world knowledge. Mention the Bank of England raising rates to 5.25% in 2023. Mention the COVID furlough scheme as an example of expansionary fiscal policy. Mention the privatisation of British Telecom in the 1980s as a supply-side policy. Mistake number 5, vague conclusions. You need to say which policy is most effective for a specific objective, and why, with a clear reason. Okay, now we've covered the 3 main policy types, let's talk exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. You need to know how to write it up to get the marks. The most common question types you'll see on government policies are a 4-mark explain question, an 8-mark analyse question, and a 12-mark evaluate question. For a 4-mark explain question, something like, explain how a cut in interest rates might affect unemployment,
you need two developed points. Use the PO structure. Point, evidence, explanation, link. So you'd say, a cut in interest rates reduces the cost of borrowing. This means consumers have more disposable income and are more likely to spend on goods and services. As a result, firms experience higher demand and may need to take on more workers to meet it, so unemployment falls. That's one developed point. Do that twice and you've got 4 marks. For a 12-mark evaluate question, these are the big ones. You must present a balanced argument. Discuss the advantages of the policy, then the disadvantages, then consider the context. Always reach a clear conclusion. Examiners cannot give you the top marks if you sit on the fence. Now let me give you the 5 most common mistakes I see in exam answers on this topic. Mistake number 1, confusing fiscal and monetary policy. Remember, fiscal policy is the government using tax and spending. Monetary policy is the Bank of England using interest rates. They are different institutions with different tools. Mistake number 2, not explaining the mechanism. Saying cutting interest rates boosts the economy gets you no marks. You must explain how. Cheaper borrowing leads to more spending, leads to higher AD, leads to more output and jobs. The chain of reasoning is everything.
Right, let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask you a question, pause for a few seconds, then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the Bank of England's inflation target? 2% CPI. Question 2. What does MPC stand for and how often does it meet? Monetary Policy Committee, and it meets 8 times per year. Question 3. What is the difference between a budget deficit and a budget surplus? A budget deficit is when government spending exceeds tax revenue. A budget surplus is when tax revenue exceeds government spending. Question 4. Name 2 supply-side policies. Any 2 from education and training, privatisation, deregulation, corporation tax cuts, infrastructure investment. Question 5. What is quantitative easing? When the Bank of England creates new money to buy government bonds, increasing the money supply and lowering borrowing costs. Brilliant. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. Government policies are the tools the government and Bank of England use to achieve 4 main economic objectives: growth, low inflation, low unemployment, and balance of payments equilibrium. These objectives can conflict with each other, and examiners always reward discussion of these trade-offs. The 3 main policy types are fiscal policy, government tax and spending decisions made by the Chancellor; monetary policy, interest rate decisions made by the Bank of England's MPC; and supply-side policies, long-term measures to improve the economy's productive capacity. In your exam, always explain the mechanism. Use specific real-world examples, discuss trade-offs and drawbacks, and reach a clear, justified conclusion in evaluation questions. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, every mark you earn on government policies is a mark closer to that grade 9. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.